Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined on the phone. My goodness. Already off to a great start. Joined on the phone by Joe Masato after the Thunder's 107-104 win against the Pelicans. Joe is in New Orleans for that game. I am still in Oklahoma City. But yeah, it was in some ways very similar to the game that we watched 2 days ago between these two teams, but also Thunder were able to control the game a lot more, didn't have that awful third quarter that they had on Friday. And we'll talk about all of that, but let's get into that finish. Joe, will you describe for us what the feeling was like in that building as the Thunder start on this crazy run to really pull out the game?
Yeah, well, I mean, the building was kind of dead today. I mean, just talking to some Pelicans writers, they said this was the worst crowd of the season. Maybe it was that weird, 4 p.m. start on a Sunday. It's not like the Saints were playing, though, so there's not a huge excuse. But yeah, I mean, like, it kind of felt like a preseason game in that way. So, like, the Thunder were able to it's not like they had to withstand any momentum from the crowd. So, but that fourth quarter run was, I mean, changed the game. Lonzo Ball hit a three-pointer. It put the Pelicans up 94-89. Lonzo actually shot it really well today from three, which was surprising. But so it looks like the Thunder might lose. They're in a hole. And then they just flip a switch. They go on a 12-0 run from about, the 5:20 mark to the 2-something mark. And, after that, it was kind of exchanging free throws. But Chris Paul, who I wrote about after the game, he had 7 of those 12 points. The biggest shot was a shot clock buzzer beater over Jackson Hayes, who's about a foot taller than him, and I'm not exaggerating. And he drained that. And Chris Paul was great today, in the place he started his career. So that was cool to see.
Yeah, we've seen him kind of take control of games before, especially late in the game and especially during close contests like this one. But yeah, that shot that you talk about, it was such a perfect example of like rookie versus vet. And
yeah.
And Chris Paul never seemed worried. He was watching the clock. He made sure he got out to the 3-point line, got off a clean look, and yeah, that basically summed up his approach for the last few minutes when the Thunder really went on a tear, where he was just, like he said after the game, he's been in this situation so many times before that he's just very calm and collected and can make things that he want happen.
Yeah, maybe I'm asking the wrong questions to Chris at this point, because I feel like every answer is like, well, I've done this 100 times before, I've done this 1,000 times before, I've done this like 14 billion times before. But he's like, he's constantly
this one only seven
you,
times
like,
before.
Yeah, it's like, hey, none of this is new to him. But I thought what was new is like, in that last Pelicans game on Friday night, like, Dennis Schroeder had the ball in his hands more than anyone to end the game. Like, we've seen Shai Gilgeous-Alexander have the ball in his hands to end the game. But this one, I thought was all Chris Paul. And it wasn't just the scoring. Like, the Pelicans started double-teaming him, like, right when he crossed half court, usually J.J. Redick and Jrue Holiday. And then he just, like, made the easy pass out of it. There was one, he fired it to Ferguson in the corner. Ferguson passed up a three, gave it to Adams in the post, and Adams got fouled. We'll get to Steven Adams, but he made 4 of his 5 free throws in that stretch. So it was like they tried to force the ball out of Chris Paul's hands after he was making those shots in that run, and they did that, but then the Thunder still made the right passes. And, a pretty cool moment after the game, Chris Paul is, walking into the Thunder locker room. He takes off his jersey, he hands it to kids, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. He's giving his jersey to these kids. And then I look at the man standing next to the kids, and it's Drew Brees. And I'm like, I was kind of did a double take. And he and Drew Brees, who obviously have spent a lot of time together in the city, Chris said after the game that they still talk all the time. And Drew Brees was telling his sons, they're three young boys. I don't know if they play basketball, but he said he was using that game as like a teaching moment. Drew Brees was telling his sons, like, watch CP3's eyes, watch his eyes. They're always up. And so he was just like, you know, could overhear him complimenting Chris after the game. So there's, you know, even though he's been gone for a long time and has been on two teams since, like, you still see all these little different interactions with him kind of in timeouts and in breaks where he's still, you know, interacting with people he saw quite a bit when he was here.
Yeah, I think he keeps bringing up when we go back to places like Houston or Los Angeles, like, keeps being like, hey, contrary to popular opinion, I still do know and talk to people here. Like, I still have good relationships with people here. And I mean, those two, because they, there was rumors and such flying, that didn't reflect on him. And so well, at the time of his departures. And then Houston was more of a, you had the stuff where there were rumors about him and James Harden not getting along, but then it was also just kind of him getting blindsided by this trade. So he's had a couple of underhanded comments about that as well. But yeah, I mean, when you're talking about New Orleans, that franchise was what got him started in Oklahoma City. So
yeah, and you know, they still, I mean, we've found this on our road trip so far, like, Chris Paul gets booed everywhere he goes, even if he hasn't played there. But he was still booed pretty heavily tonight. I mean, again, it was a very small crowd, so it wasn't all that loud. But, like, the boos were far louder than the cheers for Paul. But it was more of the, you know, arena employees and, like, people Paul recognized. That, like, you can tell there's still a bond. And, like, Chris said after the game, I didn't know all this stuff, but he was at the LSU-Texas A&M football game Saturday night in Baton Rouge.
Oh, yeah. So super funny. This showed up on – I only knew that because of social media, because the senior manager of social at DC United posted a picture of her and him at the game, and then you scroll down and she said, she basically just like asked the guy next to him to take the picture. And it turns out it was JJ Redick.
Chris Paul's making his rounds in and around Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah. A little homecoming. So you mentioned Chris Paul and Stephen Adams were both super clutch in those last, you know, down the stretch. And Stephen Adams, of all things, was clutch with free throws, which he has been terrible at to start the season up until like the last, let's see, five games. He didn't even take any on Friday. And then at Portland, he didn't take any either. But against the Lakers and at Golden State, Lakers, he was 4 of 4. Golden State, he was 2 of 4, which isn't like amazing, but it's way better than the 1 of 6 that he started the season with. So it's like somehow this free throw renaissance for him. And we haven't really gotten an explanation as to why he's suddenly so much more consistent.
We did get an explanation tonight.
a quote unquote explanation.
Breaking: Stephen Adams is closing his eyes and aiming for the top right hand corner of the backboard on free throws. No, I mean, that's actually what he said tonight, but it was clearly a joke from Stephen Adams, who is sometimes hard to get something serious out of, but. he was clutch. I mean, he had five of his six free throws. Four of them were really big late in the game that sort of iced the game. And it kind of reminded me of what at the time sounded like a throwaway comment from Billy Donovan, who's like, we asked him about Steven missing free throws. I don't remember when this was, a couple weeks ago. And he was like, yeah, but he always makes them when they count.
Oh, yeah.
And like, and you know, that's, it's like, well, he's trying to make them all the time, but maybe that's right. But like tonight he did. I mean, Steven Adams made them when they counted most, and he's improving from the free throw line, which they really need him to, because he's a big bodied dude who gets fouls a lot down there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that force that he has under the rim, the Pelicans tried to counteract that to start the game, putting Jahlil Okafor on him like they did for much of the last game, but they had started Jackson Hayes, which did not work out well for them at all, because Steven Adams got on off to a really hot start on Friday. And even with that adjustment, he did the same thing tonight. Hot start, hot finish.
Yeah, I mean, it was the game script was almost identical for Steven Adams. The only difference was Alvin Gentry started. Jahlil Okafor was very transparent before the game in his pregame interview session and said, that, yeah, like I like the matchup with Okafor better on Adams than Jackson Hayes, the rookie. But like Adams treated Okafor today like he did Hayes on Friday. They just went right at him. And then Okafor didn't play in the second half after playing 9 minutes in the first half and starting. They went small when Steven Adams was off the court, and when he was on the court, it was Jackson Hayes. But late in the game, I mean, the Pelicans were at the point where Hayes couldn't handle him one-on-one. They were often doubling him, and Steven Adams was forced to turn into a facilitator even from deep in the post, and thought he made some pretty good passes. And he and Chris Paul were both double-teamed at times in that fourth quarter run, and they both handled it pretty well.
Yeah, the pro about getting double teamed, if you can break it, you've got someone else, or pass out of it, you've got someone else open on the floor.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of times that was like the thing the Thunder did not do well today. Speaking of those double teams, they just didn't shoot the ball from three very well. 11 to 33, 33%. And then when you look at the Pelicans, you wonder how they lost, because they were 17 of 38, 45%. So they,
with
that was
Lonzo
like
Ball just coming alive.
Yeah, Lonzo. My goodness. Lonzo Ball, known three-point shooter.
Right? Totally. All we've ever talked about with him is how beautiful his shot looks.
Yeah. Not a funky release
really? No,
at
no, no,
all.
No. Textbook.
He attempted 8 threes. That's shocking.
And made half of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was weird too, because the Thunder started off so well. They just weren't missing shots again. Even from three, they were shooting really well from three to start the game too. And then like towards the end of that first quarter, they started missing, and then they got hot again to start the second quarter, and then started missing again.
Yeah, like Abdul Nader, who has been so good the other night, he was 0 of 4 on threes. SGA was 2 of 8. Terrence Ferguson was 1 of 5. And, you know, SGA and Ferguson, like, SGA has been in a bit of a slump offensively, specifically from behind the 3-point line. But he did some other good things today. But, you know, the offense looks much better when, especially guys like Ferguson and Nader, who are usually somewhat open in the corner, make threes, and they didn't do that tonight, but they managed to change up the offense and work more through Paul facilitating and Steven Adams making free throws.
Woo, exactly how you would have drawn it up pregame.
Yeah.
Well, that poor shooting made their third quarter, which wasn't bad for the first time in what feels like forever.
They won the third.
Yeah, they won the third, and a lot of that was them buckling down on defense when their offense was really struggling, because they went on like a 4-minute scoring drought and were able to, I mean, finish the quarter strong. They were on, went on like an 11-3 run or something like that to end the quarter. But I mean, also were just solid enough defensively that those 4 minutes didn't hurt them. They still kept that, they like They lost the lead for the first time, like early on in the third quarter, but they never were down by very many points. So they were able to still keep it within a few, and that was huge.
Yeah, and about that defense, like Terrence Ferguson, he's 1 of 5 tonight, didn't really do anything offensively, but he was plus 18. That was the best plus minus on the team. And you know, Dennis Schroeder said after the game, like, he talked about the defense that they played in the second half, and he was like, that was all Terrence. Like, it was it was Ferguson who primarily matched up on Brandon Ingram, who's a really tough cover. Ingram still had 20, but he needed 18 shots to get there. So Ferguson did a really good job on him. I mean, he's become, like, we've talked about, they don't have like the stopper in Paul George. Like, Ferguson just is not that big bodied wing. He's quick, and he's a pest, and he's matched up every night against the opposing team's best offensive player. And he did a pretty good job tonight, I thought.
Yeah. He really seems to always come ready to lock people down. And he's not like, you know, you can't do a Andre Roberson comp yet, but he's also better offensively than Andre Roberson. So
yeah, that's right.
Also, Andre Roberson hasn't played in almost 2 years, so hopefully that is not the fate that awaits anyone out there. But yeah,
it's very guy. Kind.
Poor guy.
No one wants to be sidelined 2 years.
No.
Boy.
No. Brutal. I know, that was such a downer. So. Other than, yeah, I mean, that kind of sums up the similarities and differences. Very similar start, similar finish. Third quarter was different.
Yeah. Third quarter was different. It's just kind of wild. I mean, the Thunder are 8-11 now, and 6 of those 8 wins are against 2 teams, 3 against the Warriors, 3 against the Pelicans. They're 6-0 against those teams combined, which, you know, part of their early season schedule has been really tough, and you could say they could have a few more wins than they do because all of those close losses. But the schedule has also rewarded them by playing the Pelicans when they're not at full strength at all, mm-hmm. and the Warriors
when they're certainly not they're even
they're
less
not
full
strength. Probably not going to be for the rest of the year, though, but still, like, those teams have given...
Well, they'll get Curry back eventually, and Clay back eventually, and...
Yeah, I mean, they played... There was one game without Draymond, there was one game without D'Angelo Russell, so Thunder have gotten lucky in that aspect, and they've taken full advantage of it, so, you know, the record's a little strange because it's so weighed by the wins are against... You know, one terrible team and one, I guess, subpar team.
Yeah. Both who don't have their.
Yeah,
big,
both not fully healthy.
Yeah. And like their big draws, right? No, if it like Drew Holiday is the leader of this team, but Zion Williamson's going to put butts in seats.
Yeah. I mean, like just walking around the arena before the game and inside the game. Like, there's not very many Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball jerseys. There are a ton of Zion Williamson jerseys.
Which is a shame because Brandon Ingram has been playing out of his mind this year.
Yeah, I feel like he's a borderline star at this point.
Yeah.
It probably just doesn't get a lot of national attention in this market. And we'll probably get even less attention when Zion's back, though. They're on national TV because, you know, ESPN and TNT were expecting a lot of Zion games. But, you know, they'll be a really fun team when he gets back. But he's already got a firm hold on, like, being the star of this team without even playing yet.
That's wild. Anything else you want to add on this game before we throw it forward?
No. I'm glad we don't have to talk about Thunder Pelicans until, like, February or whatever. We need a break from this matchup.
Right? This was... Last year, it was the Suns, where it was like they'd played a million games against them by the new year. It was crazy, but... Yeah. Now we get a Pacers matchup, which last time was awful. So, you know, might not be as thrilling of a game unless the Thunder just like somehow, like maybe unless the Pacers get complacent because they're like, oh, we killed these guys, and the Thunder gets a fire lit under them because they're like, oh, we can't have that happen again. But
yeah, and the Thunder's been pretty good at home. I mean, those,
that's true, that was a road.
The two blowouts that stand out are Portland and Indiana, and they were both on the road, so they've been tough at home. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, hopefully they can match up a little better, make it another entertaining one.
God, yeah. We didn't even mention that today. Another close game. Close games all the time.
I think they're just trying to raise our blood pressure. Like,
gosh.
Any result, like win or loss, it's always way easier to write about them when it's clear. And at this point, it's like, well, going into the third quarter, you never know. Like,
yeah, you can't plan for anything because it can change so quickly. Like that clutch time stat, like when games are within 5 points in the last 5 minutes, mm-hmm. is like every game.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if the Thunder still leads, but they led like a week ago in that category. They're playing more close games than any team in the league at this point.
It's wild. It's exhausting. But it's really exciting and it's really thrilling. Yeah, and
makes for good basketball.
Exactly.
Even when it's not good basketball, it's exciting. Makes for exciting. Yeah.
Exactly. Something worth watching. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Please subscribe. And we will see
Simple
you on Wednesday after the Pacers game.